You're listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Friday, and hope you are having a wonderful day. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, and this is my personal invitation to you to join us this Sunday morning. We have Sunday school at 9:30. We have worship service at 10:30, and not this Sunday, but a week from Sunday, we will be having our I Love Missions Sunday, and we've got evangelist Mark Perkey going to be with us on that particular day, and we're believing God that we're going to be able to continue to participate in global missions and local missions and national missions projects throughout 2026, and so we're looking forward to it. We're glad that we get to look at that in faith, and so we don't do pledges, we do faith promises, and it says, as long as God enables me, this is what I'm going to endeavor to do. And God has really blessed Merritt Assembly of God financially through the years to be because of our desire to see lives changed and people saved across the globe. So hopefully you'll be able to join us this Sunday. I'll be preaching, and we're going to look forward to what God has to say to us from his word. So let's get into the word of God today. We're talking about how believers are to love, and I'm going to start off this next section talking about the nature of God. And I've told you that many people have latched on to the scriptural truth that God is love, but they have transformed that into the statement that says love is God, and they're the ones that have redefined love, and that's not the way that God operates. God is who he is in spite of our belief system. He's never changing. He's God. He's perfect. He loves perfectly. He judges perfectly. He hears perfectly, sees perfectly. And so we're going to look at the word of God, and we're going to see about the nature of God, and then we'll look at some areas in which it can apply to our life. So I'm going to start off in 2 Kings chapter 13. It's in the Old Testament. It's probably maybe a third of the way through the Old Testament, just guessing on that, but I'd say that's pretty close. And verse number 20 through verse number 23 is all we're going to read from this passage. It says, then Elisha died and they buried him. And the raiding bands from Moab invaded the land in the spring of the year. So it was as they were burying a man that suddenly they spied a band of raiders, and they put the man in the tomb of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. That's a residual anointing when there's a miracle that takes place and you're not even alive. That's miraculous. That just sets the stage for this. I shared that with you because Elisha, the prophet who took over for Elijah and had anointed Hazael to be king over Syria, it says, and Hazael, king of Syria, oppressed Israel all the days of Jehoahaz. But the Lord was gracious to them, had compassion on them, and regarded them because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not yet destroy them or cast them from his presence. So, Israel was pursuing an ungodly course. They would eventually be carried off into captivity by the Assyrians. Those are the 10 northern tribes. And they never had a godly king in Israel after the kingdoms divided into Judah and Ephraim. There's never one king that is commended as being godly. There were some that, you know, had good economic policies. If you look at the historical accomplishments of Ahab, on the natural, he was very good for Israel. But in relationship to God, he was a disaster. And many times we see that in modern times, where there are people who on the surface, they look like everything is going great. But if you dig down underneath there, there's a disconnect between them and the God that they are supposed to be serving. So when Elisha dies, Hazael begins to oppress Israel all the days of Jehoahaz, all the days of, you know, that the king. And I do want to tell you that there may be times where life is not going super easy. There may be times when you are feeling pressure from within and feeling pressure from without. This was not just supposed pressure or oppression. This was very real. There's military might behind this. There is economic pressure that was taking place because it's an agrarian society. And so if people are invading your land, they're trying to damage your crops. They used food as a weapon. You know, now that's considered a war crime. Back in biblical times, it was, in ancient times, that was something that happened all the time. They would literally lay siege to a city, cut off the water supply, cut off the food supply, and at some point in time, the people inside the city would either have to surrender, develop a military strategy, or they would have to starve. And we see some of that earlier in the book of 2 Kings. And so how do people respond when they're under oppression or pressure that creates a level of discomfort? Someone wrote and they asked, how come that person spilled coffee on the table? And the person they were asking did not understand what they were really longing to get at. And he said, well, they bumped the table and the coffee just kind of splashed out. And what the person was asking the question was really trying to determine was the contents in the cup. The reason that they spilled coffee on the table was because there was coffee in the cup. And pressure oftentimes reveals what is really going on in our heart. And so earlier this week, we've been talking about, you know, that perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear in love. So when we're being oppressed, what comes out is something that God wants to either reveal to us that he needs to deal with, or reveal to us the area that he has already dealt with it. So if you're feeling pressure and fear or worry or anxiety comes out, then you know that you need to get into the presence of God and allow him to deal with that area of your life. If you are under pressure and faith comes out, then you say, praise God. I remember when I used to resort to worry, and now it causes me to cry out to God and worship, because I know that he will never leave me and he'll never forsake me. A lot of times people think that when they are being oppressed, when they're facing problems or challenges, that God has abandoned them, or is they're being punished for something. And here in 2 Kings 13:23, it says this: but the Lord was gracious to them, had compassion on them, and regarded them because of his covenant. So I'm going to describe the section that we're going to be going through here as compassion plus, because there are a lot of other facets to God's nature than just the fact that he is a God of love. He's a God of compassion. Compassion is an action word. It describes the heart that he has, but it also is a heart that reacts with action. And so it says here in verse number 23 that he had compassion on them and was gracious to them. Never forget the favor of God. Don't forget his mercy, and don't forget his grace, because those two things are indispensable for us, and both of them are a result of the love that God has for his people. It says he was gracious to them, he had compassion on them, and he regarded them. Giving someone attention shows that they are important to you. Can I challenge you to do something? I would like to suggest that as you are developing relationships throughout the community, you're interacting with people, that one of the things that will help build relationship faster than anything is to ask a person what their name is. It brings them out of an anonymous situation to a fact that you actually know who they are, that you remember them. Now, when I was selling shoes, I had a pretty good ability to remember customers' faces, a few of their names, but I was able to remember their face, their shoe that they wore, the size of shoe that they wore, and what they'd. At one point in time, even though I had thousands of pairs of shoes in my stockroom, I knew what size width of every shoe was available in my shoe store. Had a very gifted memory when it came to that. One of the things that I do not have a great memory for, is remembering people's names right off the bat. And so I had to develop a system in order for me to remember people's names. At the church, even though the first week that we were there, there were six, the next week there were five, the next week there was four, there was a person that was there all 3 weeks, and I just couldn't remember his his name, and he said, "My name is Jim," as in James, the brother of John, the disciple of Jesus. Never forgot his name after that, because I had a way of remembering it. So at church, in order to remember people's name and be able to pray for them and ask God to lead them and guide them and have compassion on them and be gracious to them and strategically place them, we ask people to fill out a visitor's card, because I want to be able to pray for you by name. And if you'd like for me to pray for you by name, you can contact me at meritassembly.com. There's a contact form there, or meritassembly@hotmail.com is even better. If you do it through the website, it ends up going into the junk mail folder for some reason. I can't get it out of going there by default, and I don't check that except for about once a week or so. So if you want me to pray for you by name, meritassembly@hotmail.com, and I will be glad to do that. So we ask you to fill out a visitor's card, because what I have determined about myself is that I've got to be able to see your name, not just hear your name. And I want to be able to remember people's names. So God has regard for us. He knows our name. He knows where we're at. He knows the problems that we're facing. He knows what we have need of before we even ask. He numbers our days. He knows everything about us. That's how important we are to God. And it's part of the manifestation of his compassion for us. But I wanted to start here, because it says that the Lord was gracious to them. He had compassion on them and regarded them, listen to this, because of his covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Compassion is one of the benefits of doing life in covenant with God. I highly recommend living in covenant with God. And covenant goes beyond emotions. Covenant says, you and I are in this together, and nothing is going to separate us on this journey that we have. And I get to partake of the compassion of God and the grace of God because of the covenant that was established here in 2 Kings. It's the covenant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For us, it's the new covenant that Jesus established after he fulfilled all righteousness. So praise God that compassion and covenant are functioning hand in hand. Verse number 23 concludes, and would not yet destroy them or cast them from his presence. You say, wait a minute, I thought covenant was supposed to be perpetual. It is. The problem with the covenant wasn't with God, it was with the people of Israel. Remember that fear thing that we've been talking about this week? Because Solomon had wandered in his faith and had done some horrific things at the end of his life. He had created a hostile environment for a guy by the name of Jeroboam. Jeroboam ends up going to Egypt and comes back when Solomon is dead, and he presents himself to Rehoboam, and Rehoboam answers harshly, and Jeroboam rises up and is positioned as king over the 10 northern tribes. And Jeroboam said, I've got to do something about this worship aspect, because if they go back to Jerusalem to worship, then they're going to return to Rehoboam, the king of Judah, and I will lose my power and my position as king over the 10 northern tribes. And so he set up idols in two different places. And God sent a prophet and said, this is not what I set you up for. And this is going to end badly. There's going to be a guy by the name of Josiah that is going to come and destroy these altars and these that you've built here. And Jeroboam actually had an encounter with leprosy at that time. And the man of God healed him. And it was just not a great start for Jeroboam. He literally set the 10 northern tribes up for idolatry and demonic strongholds where they were supposed to be a covenant with God. God had not forgotten, but the people did. It wasn't until Hezekiah comes along that there's an invitation that goes out to the people who are left in Israel and says, hey, we're going to have a celebration. We're going to celebrate the Passover. Why don't you come back and worship with us? And a lot of people responded because of that. All of that idolatry was set up not because of Jeroboam's love, but because of Jeroboam's fear. And so now years and years have gone by, and God says, I'm not going to destroy you. And there's a three-letter word there, yet, and would not yet destroy them. And I mean, destruction sounds just horrible. That sounds like some of the worst possible news that you could have. But I think there's something even more tragic there, and that is this: or cast them from his presence. So as I was on my way to the radio station, I have a watch that is connected to my phone, and it has decided to make 4 phone calls through motion activation that I don't even know how to do. I don't know how to arm it or disarm it as far as that part of the app goes. In other words, I cannot intentionally do what my watch accidentally did on its own. And it called my wife twice, called the station manager twice. And when it happened the second time, I said, I've got a solution for this. And I took my watch off my wrist and threw it over into the driver's seat, because I didn't want it to continue to disrupt other people's lives. And I thought, maybe, hey, if you're over there, you're not going to be causing any more problems. There is a theological situation that is called the dread release, and you don't want it. It's where God has knocked on a person's heart or a nation's heart or a community's heart. And he said, hey, I want to be gracious to you. I want to have compassion on you. I want to I want to elevate you. I want you to know you are important to me because of the covenant that we have, but you've turned your back on me, and I really look for you to be established. I don't want you damaged. But I don't want to cast you from my presence. I believe that the church needs to value, I'm talking about Merit Assembly of God and the church in general, we need to value the presence of God. It's not because God does not want to make himself known. It's because society has largely forgotten. They have chosen not to retain the knowledge of God. So I want to share with you that the compassion and the grace and the regard as individuals and as a nation, all of that was tied in with covenant. What happens if we're not walking in covenant? I don't want to find out. I think that we need to say, you know what, God, your presence, it was the attitude that Moses had, and he said, hey, if you're not going to go into the promised land with us, if your presence does not go with us, we don't want to go. I pray that all of us will elevate and value the presence of God in 2026 as much as we possibly can. His presence and his covenant are the deterrent in our life spiritually. Listen, apart from him, we can do nothing. I want you to know the very fact that we are alive is a testament of God's mercy and his grace and his willingness, his long suffering to see that he still reaches out. He's still knocking because he wants people to repent, to be forgiven, and to walk in covenant compassion with him. Thank God for his covenant. Thank God for his compassion. I pray that you will have a great and glorious day today. It's Friday. Make plans to celebrate his presence this weekend. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.